Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Here is Luis Garcia, starter for tonight in Game 6 against the Boston Red Sox. Astros trying to close out the ALCS in six games. Saying very thankful for Framber Valdez maybe showing him the way in Game 5.
He did a very good job yesterday, attacking the strike zone and executing his pitches. So I think that's the thing that I can get to me and try to do tomorrow.
All right, so that's Luis Garcia. Framber was great. I think the biggest thing about Framber's performance, other than just the fact that it won that game for you, is that, Seth, you go into tonight's game, if you're Dusty Baker and Brent Strom, and you've pretty much got that whole bullpen available to you. You know, you have the day of rest. Really, this entire bullpen, other than Ryan Stanek, is operating on at least 2 days of rest right now, which it cannot be overstated, given how the first four games of this series went, how huge that is.
I honestly don't think it's going to quite hit people how big that performance was for Framber. I mean, like, we know it intellectually right now. Now it's up to the Astros to win the World Series, if only so that Framber's performance can be remembered as one of the great all-time playoff performances. If the Astros were to drop the ALCS, it would go on as a nice little story or what have you. But this thing needs to be just made legendary, because so much hung on it. Sean, we were running on vapors because you and I kept saying, mostly me because I was desperate, day after day, first after Framber's bad performance, then as we saw Urquidy struggle, Luis Garcia and Urquidy. I mean, it was getting to the point where it was like, we absolutely 100% have to get Greinke, a deep performance out of Greinke. But then it turned into more than that, and it turned into, okay, no, we definitely need to get at least a few innings out of Framber. And he ends up giving us eight. Like, it was just, and not just eight, it was just eight all-time carrying a perfect game, through five innings type of performance.
Yeah, now that said, the scariest thing about tonight and potentially tomorrow is that, unlike previous years where you're heading into a game six and game seven of a seven game series, and the Astros have played a game six and or a game seven several times during this recent window of dominance. They've been going into those series previously with, you know, in 2017, they're going in with Verlander and Morton in the ALCS against the Yankees. When they need both those games, they get legendary performances from Verlander and Morton. In the World Series, Game 6 and 7 was Verlander and McCullers. In 2019, it's Cole and Verlander. And, you know, it's you have hammers. You have hammers with pelts on the wall, experienced, seasoned veterans. You are going into Game 6 and Game 7 of this series with a guy who is technically a rookie, in Luis Garcia, who gave you one inning in Game 2. And you're going into Game 7 with Jose Urquidy, who at the very least has a little bit of postseason experience, important postseason experience, but he's been banged up at times this year, and he gave you barely more than Luis Garcia gave you in his start in Game 3. This is a scary time, man, and you asked me yesterday how I feel about these games, and I said, I got to be honest with you, Seth, the first thing that popped into my head after they won that game, coming back home up 3-2, all you got to do is win one out of these two, and you're on to the World Series. was the actual World Series in 2019, where they came home up 3-2 with some momentum, and we were thinking, okay, they just got to beat the Nationals once out of these next two games. You know, and they've got Justin Verlander starting in Game 6 here, and they've got Gerrit Cole available in Game 7, and they've got Greinke starting Game 7. All will be well. That 2019 World Series has conditioned me to be naturally frightened, and the fact that it's Garcia and Urquidy starting these games frightens me even more.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm irrationally cocky about all of this. And, and what started off as a joke a couple days ago when I said, hey, Sean, you know, you got to look at the silver lining here. The Red Sox have barely seen the Astros starting pitching because they were so bad. I feel like that's coming to fruition a little bit, is that one of the dangers in a long seven-game playoff series is that the opposition's batters keep getting more and more looks at your pitchers. And now one of your starting pitchers in Framber has had a brilliant performance after he had the most exposure to the Red Sox. Then he had just as much exposure as Urquidy and Garcia combined. Now you've got Garcia, who had a knee issue and who didn't last long at all versus the Red Sox. He's popping up. I feel like he's going to be genuinely inspired by Framber Valdez. I think he'll have a little bit more of swagger to him. And then this is important, and it feels like for whatever reason it's become more important in baseball these last few years than ever. The crowd at Minute Maid is going to make a difference in this game today and tomorrow if need be. I mean, we've seen that now in the playoffs for several years. I think that I think in games 1 and 2, the crowd was a factor, especially in game 1. And it was the Minute Maid crowd seemed a little bit more intense and a little bit more engaged than in the White Sox series. So I'm looking forward to tonight. I feel irrationally cocky about
it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just nervous. I'm really nervous.
Who's making you most nervous amongst the Red Sox?
I would say probably if we're talking about the everyday lineup, like who when they step into the batter's box, who am I like, oh crap. And maybe it's cuz his spot in the order, he comes up with a lot of guys on base, it feels like. But JD Martinez is the batter that scares me the most. He's the one he's sort of their Yordan. You know what I mean? He's their DH, middle of the lineup, complete game wrecker. That's the guy. JD Martinez is the guy.
Right now, JD Martinez is he's got an OPS of 1183 in this series.
It passes the smell test.
He's hit 2 home runs. I forced Brandy to do this because Brandy's annoying about this kind of stuff. Like, she refuses to have any negativity at all about the Astros. Like, she's a little bit like Linda Stirner. Like 30 years from now, Brandy will be making videos about, you know,
whoop
like,
that ass.
Yeah. But I said, no. Listen. Give me one guy. If you had to pick one guy to make you nervous, who would it be? And I started naming off. She's like, no, zero, Seth, zero. I said, okay, JD Martinez. Like, please, low and inside. They got the book on him.
Randy Payne has figured it out.
But for me, it would be JD Martinez. Yeah. JD Martinez, he got that revenge factor, too. Yeah. I think no matter how many times Jeff Luhnow tried to make nice with JD Martinez, you know JD Martinez always kept that chip on his shoulder about the fact that he had turned it around, had figured out his swing, had told Jeff Luhnow that, and yet he got very few at-bats that year where they ended up shipping him off, and then he became a perennial MVP.
He did. He became one of the biggest power guys in the business. Who do you think's more nervous about their starting pitcher right now, Astro fans or Red Sox fans tonight?
It's a really good question because Eovaldi pitched Tuesday.
Tuesday was game 4. Yes, he pitched on Tuesday.
Yeah. Not a twitch. Was it 22 pitches? It wasn't a whole.
It was in the low 20s somewhere. It was in the low 20s.
I think Astros fans, if they were being honest, are probably more worried about Luis Garcia. I'm going to predict Eovaldi last 2 2/3 innings.
Ooh, okay. If that happens, they're winning.
Look. This will be the third. Time the Astros have seen him. They've been jerking him around and messing with a lot. Like, he should have been the game one starter, but Cora wanted to get clever. Then Cora got clever and used him as a reliever in a game that that was a wasted effort out of Uvalde. So now he comes in partial rest, basically. I think he was rubbing his arm in the dugout the other night. It didn't look like anything serious or anything, but he is rubbing it. It's subliminal. So I think 2 2/3 innings.
This is what I love about baseball postseason series, yeah, is that the games are not these things that are played in a vacuum. You know, like a basketball, yeah, series, they're all just individual games, and there's really not much to one game affecting the other. The nuance of baseball is that, especially in the postseason, where you're really kind of you're mixing and matching a lot more with your pitchers. Like, Nathan Uvalde would never pitch an inning in relief in a regular season game. He just never would. But that chess move is available to you if you're Alex Cora. One of my favorite things about baseball postseason series, especially long series like best of seven series, is that the book is not totally closed on that decision to pitch Uvalde in that situation. Cora, yeah, I would imagine, is already getting a lot of heat because it didn't work in the moment. It might lose them this game, too, or at least be perceived to lose them this game. Like, ultimately, Uvalde's the only one that knows how his arm feels. But if Uvalde goes out and does what you're predicting he's going to do, Seth, pitch 2 2/3 innings, then Alex, whatever criticism he got in the moment after game four is going to look nothing like what he gets tonight, because this will have been, assuming getting Uvalde out that early in the game results in an Astro win, Cora's going to get destroyed for that decision for a long, long time, because in the moment it looked like an odd decision. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just the decision that didn't work. It was a decision that looked panicky. It didn't match up with – it was not a closeout situation. The game was tied. It didn't make a lot of sense.
It felt like in a lot – like, one of my criticisms of Bill O'Brien used to be that, like, sometimes O'Brien just tried too hard to be clever.
Yes.
He was just trying too hard to be the smartest guy in the room. And some of the things Cora has done in this series, it feels and looks like he's trying a little too hard to be clever. When he's got the horses to just to beat guys straight up, it shouldn't have to be this complicated.
Yep. All right. 713-572-4610. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. It's a Football Friday. Let's circle back to the Texans. J.J. Watt is an Arizona Cardinal. Whitney Mercilus is a Green Bay Packer. Both answered questions yesterday about the culture of their new teams. Were they saying something about the Texans in these answers? That's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so J.J. Watt is an Arizona Cardinal. The Texans will get a look at him this weekend. Whitney Mercilus is a Green Bay Packer. Ironically, J.J.'s home state and the team that J.J. grew up rooting for. Whitney Mercilus is now a member of that team. Both of them met with the media this week, and both of them talked about their current situations in a way that I think maybe shed some light on what their previous situations were. Here is J.J. Watt talking about the business-like culture of the Arizona Cardinals?
I think we obviously have a very special group of players. I think that there's a ton of talent on this team. But I think the thing that's really making this thing go so far is just the business-like atmosphere of every single day. Guys come in, they go to work, they do their job. Cliff sets a great culture where he handles what he handles, and then he lets everybody else handle what they handle. He trusts us to do our jobs. He trusts his coaches to do their jobs. And I think that there's just a belief and a knowledge that we come in every day and we do our work, and the next day you come in, you do your work, and then Sunday you go out there and you try and win a football game, and then you just turn the page, and the next day you're back to work doing the same thing. And I think that it's nobody here is complaining. Nobody here is making excuses. You know, last week we had all the COVID and everything. I think it's just every single day is work-like. I mean, it's been awesome. I mean, we're 6-0, and nobody's asked for a victory Monday. Nobody's asked, you know, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? Everybody just, we just come in, do our work, and then go out there and play.
All right, so that's J.J. Watt. Seth, it's funny, you know, we've listened to that cut three times now on the show, and every time I hear it, I hear something different. It's like rewatching The Sopranos, to make an analogy that that you can relate to. Like, every time I rewatch The Sopranos, I see different little storylines and things like
that. Let me guess, because we've already discussed about his use of the word culture.
Yes.
And whether or not he was like taking a shot at either Jack Easterby or Bill O'Brien, whomever. It didn't seem like that specific word. I don't think it sounded like he was trying to send a message there. I did think that in him talking about the business-like aspect of the way they go about their business, that felt much different than what had been described to me was going on last year, where they had various motivational speeches on Saturday evenings, or placards put into on your locker or what have you, like, yep. Where there's a whole lot of what I would call motivational BS, like a little bit over the top, whatever. That's neither here nor there. The third thing that you might have picked up on just now, was it when he kind of stumbled, like he couldn't remember whether they were 6-0 or 5-0?
No, I did like okay. That, because it, and I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it did give the impression of you know, one game at a time kind of thing. You know,
yeah,
not looking
yeah,
back
yeah,
like
yeah,
it would
yeah.
be on brand for JJ. No, you know what I heard in that time playing it was when he referred to Cliff Kingsbury, and he talked about how Cliff sets the tone and lets guys do their jobs. And yeah. I think you juxtaposed that to Bill O'Brien, who wanted to do everybody's job, it seemed like. You know, from the head coach to the general manager, which he actually had both of those titles. The stories that we would hear about the offensive staff putting a game plan together all week, and then O'Brien showing up on Friday and basically smashing it against the wall and saying, nope, we're going to do this. The things that we had heard about how it was with O'Brien, it's not even heard, like observed. Like, you don't have to be in our business to know, like, Bill O'Brien took on way too much responsibility. That's the part that I heard the third time listening to it, was about his head coach. Like, this is a head coach that JJ is really into this guy's management style.
He's not a micromanager.
Right.
I think it was probably, frankly, a lot more like Gary Kubiak.
Yes.
Kubiak was very involved in the offense, obviously, and he kind of left the defense to their own devices. But he was also much more of, I think Kubiak has always been a guy comfortable delegating. He trusts, I would say in some respects, Kubiak almost trusts some of his assistants too much. But it was a balance that worked for Kubiak. You know, he certainly wasn't a micromanager. With O'Brien, I think that the stories that were most alarming over the last couple of years, and the ones that made me the most depressed, were when they would say that, okay, Tim Kelly and the offensive coaches or what have you would be working on a game plan, have everything going, and then all of a sudden, after Tim Kelly and Deshaun Watson are on the same page on Wednesday and Thursday, Bill O'Brien comes in on a Friday or so and decides, like, no, this needs to be tweaked. No, this needs to be different. No, that's, you know, and it's just a hard way to operate when it's like that. You know, you heard similar stories with a little bit of a different flair to him, but similar stories about Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers up in Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
That they weren't on the same page. So you get into Sunday, and the head coach and sometimes play caller isn't on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. And you wonder, like, how the hell does this happen? Like, how, at the highest level of the sport, does something get so dysfunctional. And I guess the only answer I could give you is that, man, sometimes there's no overcoming psychology. That is people's undoing. It's the psychology of it all. It's what are guys' insecurities? What are guys' obsessions or like their control, their need to control, all of that. And it's weird because in football, the head coach, in a lot of ways, when it comes to the football operation, is just he's a dictator, mm-hmm. right? You know, and more so than in other companies, I think, or types of organizations, or even teams, doesn't get as much unless he seeks it out, doesn't necessarily get the feedback that he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost think that that's what the Texans maybe were trying to do with Jack Easterby when Easterby came in. Like maybe, and I think O'Brien realized it too, that O'Brien knows in his moments of clarity that he has blind spots, and that maybe that's what they were trying to do with Easterby, was try to figure out a way to get this guy out of his own way at times. And it just flat out wasn't going to work.
It was maybe the opposite, right?
Yeah, it was right. It turned into be the absolute opposite. But you're right, Sean. I think you hit the nail on the head. If JJ was thinking about anybody when it came to describing how Kingsbury does his job, yeah, it was probably Bill O'Brien and how different it was with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, that's what I heard in the third time listening to that through. Now, meanwhile, up in Green Bay, Whitney Mercilus met with the media for the first time and was asked about being rejuvenated in a winning atmosphere and really, really expounded upon that.
How much game do you feel like you have left? I feel like I got a lot, man. Felt great out there today. And it's just, it feels like revitalized. The youngness in me is back, you know, because your new environment, you feel the vibe of the team. It's not heavy. It's not a heavy cloud or anything like that.
Does that come from going from a team that maybe isn't going that same direction to now you are on a contender?
Yeah, definitely. That definitely contributes to it. But also the mentality as far as like from top down, from I'm talking about tippity top all the way down. Everybody's on the same page. You know, they invest into their players, into people. When you've got a mentality like that, then you just know you're being appreciated and they're doing everything to invest into you and you want to invest back into that. So it's like to experience something like that is awesome.
Yeah. So, I've given my piece on this. Like, you know, Whitney, of all the guys who should be bellyaching about being invested in, whether it's emotional investment or financial investment, like Whitney didn't hold up his end of the bargain the last couple of years. So I have a hard time feeling sorry for Whitney Mercilus. I think, Seth, if we're to compare what we just did with JJ with what Whitney just said, I think the parts that jump out probably much more poignantly than JJ was the heavy cloud hanging over things. And he basically says, from tippy top on down, that everybody's in sync in the Packers organization. He says the words tippity top on down.
Yeah.
Not really mincing words, I don't think, there.
I guess so. It's hard to balance out how much are you just trying to kiss up to, how much is Whitney there trying to, you know, say complimentary things about the organization, which is full of people who cover the Packers and is going to be heard mostly by people that are Green Bay Packers fans versus thinking about, he was comparing the two there. I guess the biggest problem I have with Sean is just it's inaccurate. I mean, like, I'll read, let's see, from July 28th of 2021, Aaron Rodgers, quote, "The rules are the same for most people, but every now and then there are some outliers." Like, the headline, "Aaron Rodgers pummels Packers front office in viral press conference." Like, okay, this was the poster boy for not everybody being on the same page in the organization all summer long, from the draft through early September. That and Deshaun Watson were like the two things that anybody was talking about.
Yep, you're
right. Well, actually, they didn't talk. Here we talked about Deshaun Watson. Elsewhere, they weren't talking that much about Deshaun Watson. It was mostly about Aaron Rodgers hating the front office, hating Mark Murphy. And there's no owner in Green Bay, so Mark Murphy, the team president, basically is the tippity top. That's where I agree with your criticism of the Texans if that's what it is, but don't act like Green Bay is something that's not. Your franchise quarterback is trying like hell to get out of there in the midst of a potential Super Bowl championship season.
Yeah, like I felt like, you know, when Whitney's talking about like, oh, here's what's different with Green Bay, I'm like, dude, you've been there for like 4 hours. Like all of a sudden you know what makes this place tick. You're right. Like, just if we're talking about investment in the truest sense of the word. Isn't the stat something like the Green Bay? I know Green Bay has invested very little in first-round capital for the offensive side of the ball. For like the last 10 years, all they do is draft defensive guys. So yeah, Aaron Rodgers probably heard that. Like, hey, Witt, I said nice things about you in my press conference earlier. Enough with the generalities about how much they invest. They've screwed me the last few years. Screwed, I say.
Aaron Rodgers in August. I really don't know. I think things in that direction haven't really changed at all. I'm just going to focus on this year. This is answering about him playing with the Packers next year. There are a lot of moving pieces besides myself. Yeah.
All right. Tonight has the potential to be one of the great Houston sports nights. Game 6 of the ALCS, a chance to go to the third World Series in 5 years for the Houston Astros. The last time they were in this position was 2 years ago. Let's relive it, shall we? We'll do it next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, it is a Football Friday. Reminder, Cardinals, Texans, 325 kickoff on Sunday. Seth and I got you at 1225 for Texans countdown. All of it you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. And a reminder that Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley will be out. Congress and Crawford today for Game 6 of the ALCS. Hopefully the clincher for the Astros tonight. They'll be at a way out bail bonds. Tent set up. Come by. Say hello. I'm going to be out there for a little while just hanging out. So that'll be a lot of fun out there today. It's a heavy foot traffic place there at Crawford and Congress. Say hi to the fellas. All right. So 2 years ago, Seth, the Astros were in the same situation with the Yankees. Up 3-2, coming back to Minute Maid Park. And a chance to clinch in Game 6. And as it turns out, that was one of the more, just in terms of an inflection point in the history of this team, that was one of the more, I would say, noteworthy nights, not just because they clinched a trip to the World Series for the third time in franchise history, but that was the night that was the Altuve walk-off, which we're about to hear here in a second, where he grabbed the jersey, so that started the whole buzzer narrative once the Astros were revealed to be stealing signs. That was also the night that Brandon Taubman, you know, was the night that we got to catch Brandon Taubman's act in the clubhouse after the game with the female reporters that he walked over, and of all nights to flaunt Roberto Osuna as some sort of savior, it was a night where Roberto Osuna actually coughed up the lead in the top of the ninth for Jose Altuve to fish his bacon out of the grease in the bottom of the ninth. But that was the beginning of the end of Brandon Taubman's career as Jeff Luhnow's right-hand man.
He was screaming, "I'm so glad we signed Roberto Osuna. So glad we signed him," in the face of a female reporter who had basically made very she'd made mention several times of Roberto Osuna's past and allegations.
Correct.
I suppose, right?
Yep.
By the way, little epilogue to that whole story: Brandon Taubman and that reporter have formed a relationship since then.
Have they?
They've. I don't know. I would hate to characterize it other than I know they've had conversations.
Okay.
And like Taubman is like really tried to have this like a genuine level of contrition about the whole thing.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know what the I know that he reached out to her and that they've had conversations. I don't know beyond that like how much they've reconciled.
Okay.
But he sounds like a guy that's kind of the way it's been described to me is like really tried to make amends.
Remorseful. Okay. Well,
yeah,
that's you know what? I hope that's the case. I'm all about second chances. And if you look at Taubman, Seth, you look at the way this stuff played out with the Astros in the subsequent couple of months after that, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the pecking order was in the building over there, but if he had not gotten fired for being an idiot that night in the clubhouse, he might be the general manager of this baseball team right now.
Yeah, he was a really bright young rising star.
Yeah.
I believe in. Remember the book Astro Ball, Rastro's Ball, about the rise of the 2017 Astros?
Yeah, the Ben Ryder book.
By Ben Ryder.
Yeah.
I believe. Do I have it with me? No, I don't. He was mentioned in that book as like this bright young guy that just was grinded all the time and everything. Yeah, it obviously set him on a different trajectory.
No doubt. All right, so let's relive the magic. That was all the ancillary storylines that came with that game. The real thing that we're hoping to replicate tonight is not all that. We're hoping to replicate trip to the World Series. And you know what? If it happens this way, I'm cool with whatever gray hair that I get, whatever stress, heart palpitations are caused. If it's a walk-off home run by Altuve, I'm willing to relive this again.
Altuve has just sent the Astros to the World Series! It is anything but a walk-off home run because nobody's leaving. And the little guy, 5'6", 168, with the heart of a lion, sends it over the wall and left for a pennant. Winning home run. Amazing.
My favorite part is the multiple cracks of the bat because, you know, they're just replaying it, replaying it, and replaying it.
I like how Joe Buck is so committed to not calling a home run until he's 100% sure that it's a home run that even as he's saying it for the third time, he paused before he said home run.
He said
pennant winning. Home run.
I saw the look on your face while we were playing that highlight. I thought it was because he mentioned Altuve's height and weight.
That was the first thing that bothered
me. Okay.
There's nothing listen, anybody, every time I complain about Joe Buck, people try to, they try to be gentle with me and say, Seth, look, everybody accuses Joe Buck of favoritism. He gets that from every fan base. No, I don't care about favoritism. He annoys me as an announcer. Him bringing up the Altuve's stature at that level. That's fine. Yeah, we've heard it before, Joe Buck. We know you claim to be 6'1". All right, you don't have to bring up that Altuve is short every damn time you bring up something great that Altuve does. Okay.
It was a big monster shot though, Seth. You're trying to create that contract. I can't play devil's advocate. No, you're right.
No,
Joe Buck's annoying.
No, I'm a little irked too because they're making a big deal out of. Mighty Mouse in the game the other night. You didn't have the audio because you were at Kirby
Ice House.
They made a big thing about, they get these little nuggets and they build it up into some huge thing where I can't even remember. Dusty referred to him as Mighty Mouse back at the beginning of the season once or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. They made a huge deal out of it. Like, oh, Dusty calls him Mighty Mouse.
Yeah.
Altuve didn't even know who Mighty Mouse was. Can you imagine that?
All right. Yeah. So Joe Buck's call is one that if Joe Buck rubs you the wrong way, maybe it's not your favorite call of all time. Seth, would you like to hear that home run coming from the Yankees' perspective?
Boy, would I.
A little John Sterling action here. Let's hear it.
There'll be a 2-1 to Altuve. Swung on and hit in the end of deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone to win the series. Jose Altuve hit a 2-run home run. The Astros win 6-4, and they capture this series 4-2.
I got to give John Sterling credit on that call. It was an appropriate amount of energy for the moment, even for an opposing announcer.
I won't give him credit at all.
Why?
If I were a Yankees fan, I'd be pissed off about that.
He wasn't angry enough?
No. Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize this. The radio broadcasters it's allowed. Like, in journalism, it's okay to be a homer when you're the radio broadcaster.
Right.
To a certain extent. You know, you don't want it to the point where it clouds your judgment or anything. Yeah, if I were a Yankees announcer, like if Robert Ford sounded that excited about a Yankees walk-off home run, I'd kind of be like, hey, bro, what the hell?
How great would it have been if Sterling just completely embraced the gimmick and went all the way? He's like, an Altuvian blast! Altuve! Moisi Ponce Ponte Flule! Like, he does the whole thing he does with Stanton, except with Altuve. That would be beautiful. Yeah, no, I think you're right about that, actually. If I were a Yankee fan, I would probably, because you're right, he was, hit is high, hit is high, hit is high.
Yeah, he sounded downright ecstatic. You know what it sounded like he wanted to say? What? It was like, I'm sick of covering these SOBs anyway.
Probably.
It's time for my vacation.
One, two,
I'm 87
three.
Years old.
Cancun, yeah. Yes, yeah. all right, how would you like to hear Jose Altuve's home run in Russian?
Oh, Russian, I certainly would, yeah.
Russian, let's hear it in Russian.
Ну и выбивает Хосе Алтуве. И что это такое? Неужели? Хоумран! Вот это да! Двухочковый луков хоумран у Хосе Алтуве был сейчас.
All right. So there's your Russian call.
I wonder if in Russia... I wonder if they have any... For Russian baseball fans... If they have any like love for the Cuban baseball major league players, the Cuban major league players,
yeah,
because forever, you know, Cuba was their man in the Western in this hemisphere, basically.
Right, right.
They were it was, those were, and a lot of Cubans. That's
Think
why
about that. The
Cuban first names beginning with Y. I've read a couple different theories about this, but a lot of them believe that it has to do with just the Russian influence, and especially the cosmonauts like Yuri, what's his name, and all that. Like, they had Y names. So that unlike a lot of other Latin American countries, they have all these first names more so than in other Latin American countries that start with Y, like Yuli and Jordan,
yes.
And so forth.
Yep.
So I wonder if we've got a – yeah, maybe we need to –
maybe we're Russia's team.
Yeah, Ben, get one of our Russian baseball correspondents on the phone.
Could you
I
do
want
that?
To talk to him about...
Between now and 9:53. Yeah. Yeah, if you can make a call to the motherland. Would you like to hear it in Korean, Seth? The Jose
Yeah,
Altuve
that's
home.
Exactly. That was next on my wish list.
I knew it was.
I've got a power ranking of the 170 or so nations
dialects.
Of the world.
Dialects.
And it
went,
you read my mind. You
right.
know me too well. I had Russia and then Korea after that.
Right. Pig Latin. Eep day, Ive Dre. All right, here's Jose Altuve's 2019 home run in Korean.
조선의 승리를 응원하고 있습니다.
왼쪽으로 높게! 알투베가 결국 휴스턴을 월드시리즈로 견인합니다. 끝내기 없는 호세 알투베! 지난 3년 동안 두 번째 월드시리즈 진출을 확정짓는 알투베의 끝내기 없는 휴스턴이 극적으로 월드시리즈에 진출합니다. 정말 이런 멋진 승부가 있군요.
Okay, we're good. We got what we needed out of it.
I like that. I don't know if I'd heard a Korean call before.
I don't think we have. Ooh. Yeah.
I like that. Well, no, remember, weren't we watching Korean baseball for a little bit?
We were, during the pandemic we were, but the announcers... We were watching it on ESPN,
yeah.
You know.
I don't remember any of it. Sean, I'm going to do something that I'd love to do when I'm talking about foreign cultures and
right.
peoples, which is make a vast generalization based on one example. So I love doing that.
What could possibly go wrong?
But I'm going to say the Koreans are the best at calling baseball. That was awesome. That blended. I feel like that blended, like... Every like Latin American call or every Spanish call,
yes,
with the best of John Sterling or any American announcer, and maybe a little bit of that Russian too.
I like the way the guy said Altuve. He's like Altuve,
yeah.
Altuve.
That's my second favorite Korean call, other than my brother's impression of what one of the interpreters told him when he was wrestling internationally in a tournament in Korea.
That's your first.
They got drunk with their interpreter one night, and my brother said their Korean interpreter gave them like a 5-minute explanation of how Korean penis, very powerful. And I was like, I got to hang out with this Korean guy at some point. And now it seals the deal. I've got a Korean interpreter that I never got to meet and this Korean play-by-play.
All right, so Ben, here's what we need in the next 5 minutes between now and the end of the show. We need a Russian baseball writer and we need a Korean urologist. Okay? If you could book both of those things, that would be tremendous. All right, let's go back to the old standby then. We'll wrap up the reliving of the Jose Altuve walk-off home run to get you ready for game 6 tonight. The old standby, the old Spanish call.
La carrera del gan en primera base. Altuve, el turno. Altuve la prende. Altuve. Power pelota. José Altuve, el pequeño gigante, con batazo enorme que lo gana Astros en la Serie Mundial.
Wow. Astros en Nacieres Mundial. Yeah.
Okay, I take it. Yeah, nobody does it better than the Spanish broadcast.
The Spanish broadcast. Those were pretty good, though, man. You're right. The Korean one, underrated. That was, I'll do that.
The thing about Spanish is that it just flows so well.
Yeah.
It's so, I don't know, maybe like any of the other romance languages, like Italian and French and everything, right. it's still not quite the same. I think there's so much pent up passion with like a goal call or a home run there. It sounds like he called El Tuve little as well. It didn't bother me as much in Spanish.
In Spanish, it doesn't bug you as much.
Did you say Picato? Play that again real quick.
Ben, can you fire up the Spanish one again for Seth there? Okay. Ben's grabbing. He's okay, grabbing. Give me a thumbs up when you have the Spanish.
I don't know what Picato means other than it sounds like it's small.
Here we go.
La carrera del gan en primera base. Altuve, el turno. Altuve, la prende.
All right, is that what is? Was it in that little chunk right there that you heard?
Picanho? Picanho smells like sounds like a small word, but I have no idea.
It does.
Text in 713-572-46.
Do we need to go get Ali again to translate for us? By the way, got a lot of compliments on
Picanho
that. Picanho
is a cattle prod. What the hell is that guy talking about?
Picanho is
that guy doesn't know baseball at all.
Picanho is the meat that they serve at the Brazilian steakhouse. I know that because I used to listen to your Chama Gaúcha commercials all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
You love talking about the picanha.
He said, our listeners are telling us, he said a little giant.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Picanho gigante.
Okay.
Oh, I like that, though.
There you go.
He's a little giant.
Little giant.
I don't know. I get super sensitive. You know what it is, Sean?
Hmm.
I used to have a relative who got divorced out of the family. Good riddance. Who used to, she was tall. And, like, I come from a tall family, obviously. And she used to, like, have, like, this almost snobbish way of talking about short people. And it was embarrassing. It was humiliating. So now I get super sensitive about, like, I never want to be like a tall person that thinks they're better than somebody just because they're short.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where I despise tall people now.
Right. A heightist. Yeah. You don't want to be a heightist.
Yeah, I don't want to be a heightist whatsoever.
Exactly.
Plus, he's the average height in Venezuela. He's not even little in Venezuela. Poor El Tuve comes from a place where he was just on his way to being like, yeah, that's just average-sized Jose El Tuve. And he has to come to this country, become the best at what he does, and be referred to constantly as little giant Jose El Tuve.
Right, be a half a foot shorter than everybody he's around. The Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. All you got to do is pick winners each week. It's easy. Pick winners. Send picks. Text picks to 20357. You can win $1,000. 20357. That is where you text the word picks. All right, Seth, we got about a minute here. So game six tonight. They get it done tonight? Game six, the Astros? Luis Garcia gets it done?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm like 100%. Yeah, average height of Venezuelan men is 5'8", so El Tuve is a little bit shorter
than the show with Siri. You with your factoids.
It was. I didn't want to get canceled for underestimating the height.
I hear you.
I'm freakishly confident about tonight. I feel like the bullpen is in incredible shape. Incredible shape. Thank you, Framber.
Yes.
Thank you so much for this incredibly healthy and fresh bullpen. And I think that Luis Garcia is going to go out there and feel like he has the knees of a much younger man than himself. He's already young.
He's like 23.
Yeah.
And, he's got the knees of an 18-year-old, I tell you.
And he's going to deal. Like, I think, honestly, I think Luis Garcia comes into his zone tonight. And when Dusty comes out to try to take him out in the sixth inning, he tells Dusty to F off.
Shouts him
down,
huh?
And he stays in for one more inning.
He's
going to become a full-grown man tonight.
I like it. All right, a reminder, a couple things. Clint Sterner in the show out at a Way Out Bail Bonds today. Congress and Crawford, stop by and say hello if you're going to the game 2-6. They'll be out there. And Seth and I got you at 12:25 Sunday afternoon for Texans Countdown. 3:25 kick between the Cardinals and the Texans. Seth? Antibodies to you. Enjoy the game tonight, my friend.
Antibodies and one website that says the average height of a man in Venezuela is actually 5'6.5. To you.
And scene. We are done. We will see you on Sunday at 12:25. Go Stros. Enjoy the game, everybody.
Kingsbury, master statistician.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.